Good morning. Please stand and join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin. It is good to be in God's house on the Lord's day. We ask the Lord's presence in this gathering for comfort, guidance, forgiveness, love, and hope. Let us rejoice, give thanks, and worship. Let us join now in our song of worship, number 25, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Let us pray. Gracious God, your amazing love extends through all time and space, to all parts of your creation, which you created and called good. As people of faith, we are called into covenant. Your covenant of faithfulness and love extends to the whole creation. We pray for the healing of the earth, that present and future generations may enjoy the fruits of creation and glorify your name. Be with us as we worship today. We pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. We welcome you to our worship service on this beautiful October, I mean September, Sunday. But it would be a good day if it was October. We're glad you're here and have come to worship with us today. We joined for Sunday school, and we had a wonderful time during that hour, and I'm thankful for all who were able to be a part of it. And we look forward to the year of studying as well as worshiping together. Today is Rally Day, and it is a very beautiful day, but probably not the kind of day we would want to have an outdoor picnic. So, according to the internet, and you know that the internet is always right, next Sunday is to be 82 and sunny. So we're going to move the picnic until next Sunday so that we don't have to play in the rain, even though it's a beautiful rain. And I'm told that it is such a rain that they even canceled the horse parade, which was scheduled for today. So we'll join with them and cancel the picnic until next week. Also, be aware that this coming week there will be a men's breakfast on Saturday morning at 8 in Bob Evans. I also think coming up are some important days in the life of our church. We've got, the fall rally for the association is on the 23rd, which is in a couple of weeks. And so we look forward to opportunities like that to be a part of the Marian Baptist Association. Our missions emphasis for the month is PIN, People in Need, and we are collecting items for them all month long. You'll notice on your insert that there are some suggestions, but there are other things that you might also contribute, and we encourage you to do so. Are there other announcements? Yes. That gives you an extra week to sign up to bring sides or desserts for the picnic if you would like. And you'll find the sign-up sheets in the gathering space, and there are other sign-up sheets like Panera Pickup and Fellowship Time that you're welcome to sign to. It is the first Sunday of Sunday school, and so we want to take a moment and just to dedicate ourselves to the study of God's Word and to dedicate the teachers who have graciously volunteered to help us throughout this year. So I think what I'm going to do is name them and then ask them to stand. And after you can see who they are, we'll all stand and pray the teacher dedication prayer that you will also find on your bulletin insert. The adult one class is Pat Gosser and Candy Lee. The adult two class, I am teaching, and Randy Turner is my substitute. Pam Falk is teaching the youth class with Candy as her substitute, and Larry Falk is teaching the teens class, and David is his substitute. We thank you for your service as Sunday school teachers. And now, the rest of you may stand, and let's join together in prayer. God of creation, you have gifted these men and women with teaching skills, creativity, and curiosity. We pray you would fill them with the power and compassion of your Holy Spirit. Fill them with energy and insight into your word, the story of your faithful heart. Hold us to be perfect. You have called us to be faithful. You have not called us to be all-knowing. You have called us to believe. We dedicate ourselves to the call and task of preaching. Grant us wisdom, patience, and joy in our preparation and teaching of your word. God of hope, guide each teacher as they study your word. Strengthen the gifts you have given them and energize their compassion. Remind us to find ways to support and encourage them throughout the year. May we share in their joy and in times of difficulty. We commit ourselves to each to our part in this joyful task. May your steadfast, faithful, covenant love guide all we do. Amen. Our song of praise this morning, you can remain standing, is In the Faith We Sing, Praise the Source of Faith and Learning, number 2004.
Let us continue our worship with our tithes and offerings. Lily Usher's, please come forward. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we know that as the rain and snow come down from heaven and stay upon the ground to water the earth and cause the grain to grow and to produce seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry, so also is your word. You send it out and it produces fruit. Bless these gifts and offerings that they too may produce fruit for your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have the opportunity now to share with one another prayer concerns and joys and praises. Does anyone have anything to share?
I have a joy. It was a real pleasure yesterday to have lunch with the ladies of the church, and there were 10 of us.
Great, thank you. We should remain in prayer for the Kilhefner family. They had their memorial service yesterday for Chad's brother, Keith. And keep them in prayer. There were just other things that strike you when you attend something like that. The place where Keith was buried was also the place where Chad's other brother was buried and where Keith's son was buried. So these are young people, and also Chad's mother. So some hard times for that family. Be in prayer for them.
a joy that on June the 2nd of this year, Lana and I celebrated our 55th anniversary.
Shall we remember to pray for our country and its leaders and for those who serve? Bow with me in prayer. It is a gracious thing that when we speak, you listen. Hear our prayers. Hear the spoken ones, the joy that we have experience with each other and with family. Sometimes the pain that we have known because we suffer loss, and you comfort us in those times. We pray that you would be with us throughout all the events of our lives, and that when times are hard, we would know especially the power of your presence, and that when times are good, we would not forget that every good thing comes from you, so that we would be aware that whether in good times or bad, you are always with us, giving us strength, comfort, and guidance, molding and shaping our lives so that we might be made ready for the time when we enter into your kingdom. We pray for forgiveness, for it is not always true that we have paid attention to your presence. Sometimes when things are hard, we feel abandoned, and it challenges our faith. Sometimes when things are going well, we give ourselves too much credit and think we do not need you. Sometimes we are thoughtless towards others. Forgive us. Heal us. Shape and mold us. Make us whole. We pray not only for ourselves, but for our community and our church. And we pray for the world we live in. For we look around and we see others who are suffering, others who are living as if you are not there. We pray for them, that they too might come into your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our song of meditation is number 2108 in The Faith We Sing, Oh, How He Loves You and Me. Stand together and sing.
Today's scripture is from
Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray continuously.
In Acts chapter 2, we read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We have already prayed this morning as the Lord taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." We pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We pray, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And we ask, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Such a powerful set of lines. Jesus himself was known to be a praying person. From the 40 days and nights he spent in the wilderness praying when he was tempted by Satan, to the many times the Gospels tell us that Jesus withdrew privately for prayer. And who could forget the prayer in the garden? "Remove this cup from me." Or from the cross, "Why have you forsaken me?" "Forgive them. Forgive them." And throughout the Bible, there are many references to prayer. Throughout the Psalms and the prophets and the epistles, particularly from Paul. Paul has some of the ones that stick out in my mind. Like in Philippians chapter 4, "Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Or in Romans, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." And of course, the text in 1 Thessalonians. I'd always been told that the shortest Bible verse was where it says Jesus wept. And I suppose maybe those are shorter words than "pray continually," which is just one verse. And it's in the same vein as the text I just mentioned in Romans. It comes along with, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in every circumstance. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Pray continually. So it turns out that prayer, as I think we all have always known, is a foundational part of the life of the believer and of the life of the church. And it is because of this biblical emphasis, and also because it's an important part of our lives, that along with the deacons and some help from the Board of Christian Education and the Mission Outreach Committee and some others, we are announcing this morning an emphasis on prayer for the coming year. It will be called A Year for Prayer. And that is what I want to talk about this morning. The first thing I want to do is just tell you what will be happening, because I think if you get a good map for what's going to be coming in the next 2 or 3 months, it will make it give you time to think about it and consider it. Our World Missions offering, which is an October emphasis, will be accompanied by a season of prayer, a series of devotions for 60 days. And that sounds intimidating, but it's really not. It's 60 short devotions that you will be given an opportunity to use in your daily devotions. They will be made available in print form, through an email, or online through the website. I think we'll be making them available a week at a time, beginning on September 29th. Now, these prayer requests and concerns and devotions are actually written by American Baptist missionaries that we support through the offering that we will be collecting. But you'll notice 60 days takes more than a month. So that will be an activity that you can be a part of for 2 months. until around the time of Thanksgiving, there will be more information in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Secondly, on October 27th, we will have a day of prayer. It will be like a prayer vigil. Opportunities will be given for anyone to come to the church at a scheduled time throughout the day, it's a Saturday, and pray in the sanctuary. There will be suggestions and helps which will also be available to those who might be better able to pray from home. So this will be something that we hope everybody will participate in, even those who either feel uncomfortable or are unable to get to the church. Now, a vigil often has an object, to pray for something in particular, like a building project, or a get-out-of-debt-free campaign, or the launching of a new ministry program. But this day will be a little bit different, for there is no specific aim, except to pray more intentionally for our church and for each other, for our community and for the world, that the prayer ministries of our church would be enhanced and that our faith and our lives would be enriched. And then around Thanksgiving time, we will introduce a prayer chest, which would be like a box or a container of some kind, a bowl, literally something that you can reach and grab things out of. And what we are going to put in there, in order to help us to be more intentional about praying for each other, is the names of the people in the church. And you will have the opportunity to grab a piece of paper that will have someone's name on it, and all you'll do is commit to pray for them for a week. And then the next week, you can grab somebody else's name. That's a couple of months away. So much more information about that will be coming in the months to come. But today, I just wanted to map out the emphasis for the fall. There will be more activities that are in the planning stages for the spring. We will have some prayer services and prayer meetings where we will take the time and to learn about the different kinds of prayer and different ways of praying and give opportunities to grow and try different approaches. But because today is Rally Day and because I had mentioned it in a newsletter article and in a sermon, I thought it would be good to just set it before you so that you can thoughtfully and, of course, prayerfully consider your participation in this emphasis over the next several months. There's plenty of time to ask and answer questions. I present this as a time of encouragement and building up. And let me make this qualification. It is voluntary, and everything that we do is voluntary. There will be parts of this emphasis that will be powerfully meaningful to you. I believe that. There may be parts that could be challenging. I hope that we will not fear a challenge. But there may be some parts of it that prove burdensome or leave you empty. Give what you can to it, what you feel led by the Spirit to give. Do not be burdened. Take what helps, builds up, and encourages, and leave what doesn't, what burdens and overwhelms. This is meant to be a help. Finally, in order to help us prepare for the day of prayer on October 27th, over the next couple of months, I will offer a series of prayer moments. Prayer moments are like missions moments, a chance for me to share some suggestions that I hope will be helpful to you, and also a chance for me to relate a little bit about why this is meaningful to me. And I also want to spend a moment this morning to talk about why this is meaningful to me. If you're anything like me, then Paul's imperative, pray continually, is a difficult one. And I'm sure that you've heard that before, and you've probably had conversations with your friends and with other Christians about what it means to be praying continually, unceasingly. And my guess is many times you've tried to make it a part of your life. I have. Many times I have made it my purpose to be more intentional and determined in prayer. And most of these efforts have been successful for a while, but have been faded, usually. Distractions come along and end them. But at a crucial time in my life, however, prayer became very important to me. And since that time, it has remained so. And that's one of the things that I think is interesting, is that it has not ended. I think you all know what I am referring to, the experience that led to a divorce in my life. When I think about how I survived that time, with my faith intact, and with whatever one may say, however one may speak of it, with a sense of spiritual and emotional and physical health even, I can think of three things that proved meaningful. Those three things are: I ran a lot, I read a lot, and I prayed a lot. Now, these were not accomplishments. I do not offer them as accomplishments, but as confessions. At the time, I did these things out of a sense of desperation. I became very thankful that I was able to run a lot. Some people can't. As a matter of fact, now I don't run so much anymore because my knees don't like it. I can run, but if I do, then I will be very, very sore and it will be painful to walk. It's better to walk. But the point is, you can substitute any form of exercise or physical therapy in its place. For me, physical activity helps. And it doesn't matter what your circumstance is, even if it's squeezing a ball or just lifting your arm up. I would suggest physical activity. And for me, reading is an avocation. It's not something that is true for everybody. I understand that not everyone likes to read or has the opportunities to read. But everyone can have a hobby or an engaging activity, and I assume that all of you do, that helps pass the time, but not just to pass the time, but helps pass the time meaningfully, that provides for you examples of life truths. Now, I would not say that an enhanced prayer life is available only those who can run or read, but prayer, the third thing, is something that we can all do. And for me, it became crucial. And I offer also as confessions a couple of reasons why I think that was true for me. And maybe this will prove helpful to you. It became crucial to me because I listened more intently than I ever had before. I learned prayer as listening as well as speaking. Perhaps that has been your experience. I don't know. Secondly, I became more aware of the kind of things I prayed about, my deepest petitions, what I asked for. And I realized that those things reflected what was most important in my life to me. Some of those things were ennobling and enabling, but some of them were ugly. In other words, I learned prayer as a way of self-knowledge. I was able to make some decisions about some parts of my life I didn't want, and some other things that I wanted that I didn't have. Also, I was confronted with the many ways that I've been well cared for. Things I had never thought of as God's providence leapt at me with great force. The running is an example. When I was a young person I was able to run. I think I was just one of the kids who could run, you know, when you're in first grade and some kid says, I can beat you to that tree, and you say, oh no, you can't. I was always the one who got there first. For a time in my life, I thought that perhaps the reason why I had been given that particular gift was so that I could win races. Who knows, maybe even be in the Olympics someday, although that turned out not to work out. But in the midst of my crisis, running was part of what saved my life because it was exercise. And I know there's a physiological side to it. It was endorphins. Made me feel good when I didn't feel good. It also led me to places that I would not have ever noticed. And I realized that perhaps I had been given the gift of being able to run so that I might make it through that crisis. That even as far back as when I was born and was a child, I was being prepared to thrive in a difficult time. Same is true for reading, I think, in some ways. Because it isn't just that I like to read, but there were books that I had read 20 years ago that I reread. And it's because I remembered them and they had powerful messages of hope and healing for me. I had been taken care of. There were other things, some of which perhaps I will share over the course of the next year. The result of the ways that I had been taken care of is that there was a sense of gratitude and peace and hope. Now, I am sure that each of you have your own stories to tell, and some of you may be reluctant to tell them, and that's okay. But over the course of the next year, as we emphasize this, others of you may have the opportunity to share at greater length what your stories are to help build up the group. I guess the point is that I learned about God, I learned about myself, I learned how to listen, and in a time that could have been devastating, found myself being lifted up. Lifted up by others around me. Lifted up by on the wings of Christ Himself. And I don't think I would have noticed if it hadn't been for the importance of prayer and for the prevalence of prayer. And of course, I recognize that prayer itself is a discipline that I had been offered by my parents when I was a small child and by the church that they raised me in. I would have never known about it had it not been for people who had told their stories and done their best to help. That's what this year is about. A year for prayer. We set this before you as an opportunity for increased faith, for an enhanced awareness of God's grace, that our lives and that our church might be full and our world might be transformed. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And always remember that back at the very beginning, according to the book of Acts, before they had sanctuaries with stained glass, before they had orders of worship and budgets, before they had youth ministries and music programs and denominational missionary emphases, before they had any of that, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Bow with me. Lord, we are so grateful because of how you have taken care of us. We long for a better understanding. We each of us face circumstances that are challenging, and our church itself faces challenging circumstances in our community and in the world. The proclaiming of your gospel is full of challenges wherever it is proclaimed. You have given us many things to sustain us and to help us to grow and thrive. And one of those things is prayer, and we are thankful for it. Help us to learn. Open our hearts and our minds to whatever you might speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our song of dedication this morning is "I'll Tell to All That God is Love." It's number 491. Shall we stand together and sing? Thing I'd like to say. We're a small enough congregation that any of you that wants to talk to me, anytime, but certainly about this prayer emphasis, feel free to do so. I'm available to everybody, and I'd love to take the time. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would be with us when we pray, when we worship together, and also when we go out into the world, because it is in our lives sometimes that we meet you most powerfully. May that happen to each of us. In the name of Christ, amen.
say. I don't know if it was my ears or what.
So much better this morning. I don't know if it was the cooler weather. It didn't sound like it was the last 2 weeks.
There's places in it. The one downstairs, I guess, sounded good. I thought, wow, this hasn't been affected very much. So that was nice. That was a pleasant surprise.
I might want to know that.